from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, that song Elton John sings. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. The song's for you. You ever heard that?
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Home!
Do you want to hit it for me, Ken?
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Farhan Zaidi.
Oh, here we go.
Strikes again.
Did they get him?
No, they didn't get anybody. They actually traded Alex Cobb to the Cleveland Guardians. That's per Jeff Passan of ESPN. The Cleveland Guardians are finalizing a deal to acquire right-hander Alex Cobb for the San Francisco Giants.
So, they are guys like me, that the romantics, the dreamers, when Cobb gets back. If I had a dollar for every time, Evan, and the dude is, as you just said, gone. Shout out Kype, man. I mean, wow. Way to go, Farhan. I mean, this is what you call selling, Evan. Do we know what they got back?
It certainly looks like it. Well, my guess is you're not getting much, because I also
$80.
Well, I also can't imagine that the Giants will be sending any money out.
Nah.
Alex Cobb is also a free agent at the end of this season. He's on the second year of a 2-year, $20 million deal. So his money coming off the book should help the Giants get closer to climbing out of the competitive balance tax, but they still have, I believe, some room to go between now and then 3 o'clock when they would officially finalize it. So, again, they're not completely out of the tax, and they haven't made their team better. So this move is sort of interesting to me, because Cobb was expected to come back and be a part of the rotation. Unless they got something, look, Cleveland's got a good farm system. Maybe they were able to get something for him. But if you're Cleveland, I don't know why you would give anything up for a pitcher that has not thrown a single big league pitch this year.
No doubt about it. And
35 years old, coming off of arm surgery.
But it sounded good when they went and got him, Evan. And they were like, maybe after the All-Star break, you know, we saw Ray come back. He's on the bump tonight. But just, it feels like another zero. It's not even so much to trade. How can you have any impact, Evan, and not throw one pitch?
But I also think it does indicate confidence in Hayden Birdsong. Well, that might be a bit of a stretch, but I think it indicates a confidence that they want to keep him in the rotation, because he's kind of the odd man out. So if Cobb, in a perfect world, like, you know, at the beginning of the year, you're penciling in Ray, Snell, Webb, Hicks, I guess Hicks would have been moved to the bullpen, but Cobb's the fourth guy.
Gotcha.
And then Harrison, so that's five. If you include Hicks, that makes six. If you include Birdsong, that would be the seventh. So I actually, from one standpoint, it does look a little bit like a sell, and they weren't probably going to bring Cobb back at the end of the year anyways, but maybe they were able to move on from a little bit of money, get themselves closer to getting out of the tax, and also provide a runway, again, which aligns with the Soler thing. They're providing a runway, a pathway for Luciano. I think this is also about giving a firm piece of the rotation to Hayden Birdsong.
I like that, and it's still, to me, Evan, is whatever they looked at, and we know injuries and science, nobody knows, but at the end of the day, they thought he would be back up and running by this juncture, and you're right about Birdsong. But what if he didn't even, you know, appear and work his magic like he has? The bottom line is, this was a name that I got excited about just from Giant fan standpoint this offseason, and we gave him a pass thinking, okay, he'll be ready, and then we get this to where, Evan, you're right, he didn't throw one ball.
No, he didn't, and the Guardians are sending the Giants a pitching prospect, Jacob Bresnahan, and a player to be named later, my favorite prospect, P.T. Banner.
Damn, there you go.
Yeah, but
it's a strikeout if we can't bring Birdsong in, because he is like the Brock Purdy thing. He got a, with the Trey Lance, it's still a mistake, but you benefited from it. But, I mean, the guy wasn't healthy.
Yeah, from the 6-5-0, if they didn't get anything back, the train is off the track, Jack. It's not necessarily about what they got back. I want to know how much money is going out, because it's probably all of it. Because, again, they weren't willing to pay any money for Soler or for Jackson, and per John Heyman yesterday, they indicated they would not be willing to send any money out with Blake Snell if they traded him, which I think also means that they're not moving any other pitchers. Like, Cobb was, he was a net neutral. Like, he didn't do anything for them this year.
Invisible man.
So they felt like they could clear a little bit of money, and this is from Evan Grant. I think he operates down in Texas. One name I keep hearing about as a prospective fit for the Rangers is Michael Conforto. Expiring contract to be a platoon in Texas. Not sure how you properly value a part-time rental in the market, but $6 million remaining on the contract for Conforto. That's a name they also could get off of, which would make sense to me, because that would move towards providing more of a runway for younger players. And so I think that's where the Giants, I see them, that right now, and if they do nothing else between now and 3 o'clock, outside of move Soler, move Cobb, perhaps move Conforto, that indicates me they are doing what a lot of people thought they should have done last year, which is leaning into their young guys.
No doubt about it. I understand that. I see your math. I see where you're going. But damn, Evan, it's just like it gets real out there when you know, you make those transactions or those purchases and you try to get the fan base excited. And again, Cobb didn't do a damn thing. He's gone. But Conforto was the guy that I thought, in regard to everyday player, he would be moved before Soler. So even if that does come to fruition and Conforto's gone, Evan, I'm not going to come in here and say, oh, they sold. That's the type of thing to where, okay, I get the logistics of, you feel like you could just give it to the younger players and kind of get the same production, because, you know, he's been platooning at best. And he's out of here at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I don't really think the Giants got much back, although perhaps you never know. 19-year-old Jacob Bresnahan.
Oh, 19.
Yeah, he's made 12 starts this year in the minors, last with Lynchburg. That's single A in the Carolina League. So he'll probably go to San Jose. That'd be my guess. But he's a 19-year-old, and yeah, you're not going to hear about him for a few years.
And the scoreboard, and I know we keep going to the wallet, and you're right, Evan. I'm not saying you're saying this, but the bottom line is, we talked about the sale or add scoreboard. Right now, it's been, I think it's 3-0 sale, if you allow me to, you know, bring that to the, introduce it to the jury.
But again, that's why I just, it feels like a dual move. You know, it's a value move. You're getting off of a guy who you haven't got anything from this year. So you're saving a little bit of money. He wasn't going to be a part of your future anyways. And you recoup this guy who could potentially turn into something. But more importantly, you clear a runway for a valuable piece, ideally, of your future. Yeah. So once more, this is a move that has me thinking the Giants are looking at 2025.
Wow.
As opposed to 2024. So I'll ask you this, because I'm starting to come around to the idea. You think Farhan feels comfortable?
Way comfortable. Like, he's going to be here and see this thing through. And Evan, it just, you got me thinking, like, why didn't you do or take this approach last year and save all that bread? You know, if you're going to pull the plug that fast on splurging on the guys that we talked about, if now all of a sudden you trust at the deadline putting it in the hand of the youngsters, or maybe you're just putting it in the hand of the youngsters to play this season out the last 54 games. But, you know, I thought the deadline, Evan, was Farhan trying to bring in somebody that could do something right away, either on the heel or with the bat. But now I'm getting told by their actions that, you know, we're just going to move it around to where our young guys get the opportunity.
Yeah, I think it also means, and this is from the 209 in the Xfinity Mobile text line, so does this mean Birdsong will stay up as a starter? Yes. Like, I think that's, you didn't get anything back for Alex Cobb except for more starts at the big league level for Hayden Birdsong. There, and what he's done so far is 6 starts, a 2.97 ERA, 3-0 record. He's struck out 11.5 batters per 9 innings, and he's been good. He's actually, he's impressed me more than Kyle Harrison.
No doubt about it. I'll give you that. So I guess we could call that an add then.
But again, it's
addition by subtraction.
Addition by subtraction, okay. Precisely.
This is the definition of it.
Yeah, but that's also a risky move because Birdsong, he looks like a promising rookie. By the end of the year, he'll have enough service time. But I don't know what he's going to be. Like, he's 22 years old.
Can he sustain it?
He also could struggle down the rest of this season.
It happens.
He probably hasn't pitched this much, you know, to this point in his career. The most innings he's ever thrown has been 100 over a full season. So, you know, right now he's at between AAA, I guess AA earlier this year, in the majors, he's at 87 2/3 innings. So after a couple more starts, he will be at the threshold. He will have thrown more innings than he ever has in his life. How do I know down the stretch of a postseason push that someone like Birdsong is going to be ready to do battle with the Padres or the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks or the Cardinals or the teams in front of you in both your division as well as the wild card standings? So there's risk to that. You might have believed that someone like Alex Cobb is an established veteran who's been in the league and has handled those pressure type situations before would be better suited to help you compete for a postseason berth. But you just moved off of him. So,
yeah, Evan, speaking of which, I know he's going to speak today and you're not kind of lightweight, you know, excited. I kind of am, but I think everything's falling into place now. You asked me, we've heard from everybody, callers, the chat, the text line. How important is it for the Giants, this year's Giants, to make the postseason to save Farhan's job? But again, by these moves, it signals to me for him, just him personally, Farhan, Evan, it's not do or die by making the postseason. And I kind of hate that, and I hope I'm wrong.
No, I do agree with you.
Man.
And the reason is it's maybe starting to become more clear to me what Farhan is doing and what eggs he's putting in which baskets. And that's this. I don't think Farhan believes this team was or is going to make the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't think your team can make and get into October, well, what's the one way you could save your job? Again, they've tried to spend money. They have tried to get a big free agent. Those things haven't worked. The one thing that Farhan has always hung his hat on, or people have hung his hat on it for him, has been development. Okay, so let's finally see with these guys.
Yeah.
And if Birdsong looks like he's a dude, if Harrison finishes the year strong, if Luciano comes up and gives you good ABs from the DH spot, you already know that Ramos is a player for you. Well, then,
is that worth another year, Evan? He's got it on the paper.
But if your ownership, you could convince yourself that this is finally the plan that we had envisioned all along. It just took us a long time to get there.
And you know what? It may
fans aren't going to want to hear that.
No doubt. And it may be that same convincing that got him the 2-year deal after he fired his manager. Like, that was kind of crazy. Let me read this tweet to you from Pavs. Barring a surprise over the next 3 hours, Giants will go into the final third of the season with the rotation of Webb, Snell, Ray, Harrison, and Birdsong.
Yep.
It's a very strong group, although, Evan, there's no longer much of a safety net if anyone gets hurt.
I mean, you can move Hicks back in.
Yeah. But I'm worried about scoring runs.
Mason Black?
Yeah.
But, well, no, I mean, they've had trouble scoring runs all season. But to me, it's Like, you're going to win and lose with your pitching staff. And so this might not have been the staff that they envisioned, because Birdsong, I think, has kind of been expedited due to his own progression. But basically, Cobb was supposed to have Birdsong's spot. Maybe not as the fifth starter, but one of the five.
Yeah.
So you basically just swapped one out and saved money. That's what they did. You basically penny pinched the fifth starter in what was supposed to be a rotation, because you found a better, younger, ideally more promising prospect.
Yeah, who's ready and able to throw the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know if Cobb was, remember, I was playing with you guys doing the crossover yesterday. Was he coming back? He still may come back, but we'll see, Evan. But now it's not their problem. Here we go. We'll see what goes on, man.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Inverstein with Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're talking about the Giants, who have made a couple moves. Again, late last night, they traded Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to the Atlanta Braves for top 20 prospect and basically getting off some money. They also got off some money a few minutes ago by trading Alex Cobb to the Cleveland Guardians for a 19-year-old prospect in single A, and I guess a player to be named later. But they've cleared away now for Marco Luciano, DH, and Hayden Birdsong in the starting rotation.
So that, and I love you for that, E, but doesn't that kind of signal to you're selling because you're not replenishing those spots with, you know, better talent? It's just like the opportunity now for your youngsters. Like, you're giving them that, you're empowering the youngsters, go get them. Because we're not going to go spend more or try to swindle another team for somebody better than you two. It's almost like open tryouts. Let's go. And the Giant fans, if you're on the edge of your, you know, on pins and needles, hey, 3.5, it's now 4. Let's go get them. If Birdsong get more of an opportunity and is a constant, and now Luciano coming out of the middle of nowhere, I don't know if that would do it for me. So I'm kind of torn on, that's not what the deadline. And it's not over yet. I know we got a couple hours, Evan, but that's kind of not what I thought Farhan was going to do. I thought he was going to overspend or try to get something here to where we could change the fortune in the next 54 games. But now it's like back to, hey, you not JV, but youngsters, you take it, you got it. We got to save some money, and we tapped out, to, you know, ran some others. Let's see what you got.
It also means they're not getting a big boy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if anybody believed that they actually would.
I kind of deal with.
Well, yeah. I'd hoped. But all the targets that we've thrown out, they're not getting them.
I got you.
Because that's, at least we have some semblance of a direction. Now, I might not like the direction, because it also is a pivot to what this season was supposed to be, which was an all-out push to the postseason and a reliance on veterans. And that's actually probably the biggest takeaway I have from these two trades. Is it's an admission that your veterans are just not good enough.
Wow.
The ones you signed, which is blamed to be placed at Farhan's feet.
Man.
You signed guys that were not good enough, and so you believe that the better alternative is to rely more the last 2 months of the season on younger players. Now, there's still a fusion of both,
but
they're trying to move their way into a younger, new generation of Giants. That's what I see when I see these two trades.
Interesting. Evan, and let me add this. You may not agree, but let me know. I also feel like Farhan will be here to fly that plane of watching the new youth movement take over. How about that? I really thought he might be gone, but I was right. I think I nailed it. And again, I won't be able to, we won't find out to the end of the season. But Evan, I don't think you make moves like this not knowing you're going to be around to see them develop or see what they do.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, because while Farhan could have his anchor tied to his young guys, at the same time, like if, hypothetically, if you fire Farhan at the end of the season because you don't make the playoffs, Melvin, and you're not happy about it, or you fire Melvin, like it's not like those players go with him. You know, it's not as if Hayden Birdsong goes to wherever Farhan's next stop is. You know, coaches or GM, they don't take their players. This isn't college. He's not Deion Sanders going to Colorado and taking his son and everybody worth his salt. So whoever is going to come in to potentially replace Zaidi, if that indeed happens, is going to have actually a pretty decent base. So it could be a twofold move by the ownership saying, well, we want to let Farhan do this and, you know, see if these young guys are good enough to make a, you know, a postseason push. And if they're not, but they have promise, maybe someone else can come in and take over and grab the baton from Farhan. So there's still a lot of I don't think Farhan's job is secure by any means.
Wow, but when you think about the division, Evan, the National League West, you had an option to do that a year earlier. I kind of respect it. I'm on record as in it. I appreciate what they tried to do, what he did, and what he spent when they were just getting turned down left and right. But now if you do, and you are correct, you pivot to it's on the young guys, what message does that send to the fans? And then, Evan, on top of that, how long realistically is it going to be? I know you're not Evan Domus, but how long is before they actually compete?
Before they compete? Well, ideally it's next year. I mean, we talked about this yesterday, earlier this show. It's always about next season. It's always about next season. I don't know when that's going to change.
Wow.
But right now, these moves tell me that it's about 2025. With Farhan or without Farhan. Like, seriously. I mean, because they invested a lot of money in players that have not been able to put them in a position to challenge for the final, for any of the wild card spots. So,
really, I just want to know the balance. Go ahead, Evan.
No, I was just going to say, Alex Cobb is supposed to help you get to the playoffs. Yeah, He's gone.
Yeah. So where's the balance of we're going all in with the youth movement? You know,
they're not all in, though. That's the thing. They're kind of in. They're in with some players that they believe in, but Yaz is still going to be in right field tonight. Like, Conforto's still going to be in left.
Well, I was thinking more next year. Would Yaz be, like, he shouldn't. And I love what he's done. The Flores of the world, like that. I think that ship, if this is where they're going, that doesn't match. The Estradas, like, you know, we'll see what happens with all of that, but you can't run that. Like, if this is what it is, Evan, you got to go, you got to go all in regard to the youth. Even if it constitutes ales.
Well, you also got to fill out a roster. You know, you can't just clean house and get rid of all these guys. You got to keep some of them. Like, I think Estrada's probably going to be around. I don't think Conforto is, which is why people are talking about potentially selling him or trading him. You know, Yaz, maybe. Mike Yastrzemski, for example, is not a bad player.
No, not.
But among a lot of other mediocre guys, he doesn't help you. You know, for another team, he could be a solid right fielder. I mean, for crying out loud, Jason Hayward's, I think, like 36 or 37 years old. He's playing in the outfield for the Dodgers. Is he a great player, the former Rookie of the Year candidate and Gold Glover that he used to be? No, but he's a serviceable player. Those kind of players will get jobs, but their place is not really on the Giants because it's not what the Giants aren't ready to contend.
Wow, Evan, that man, that's a drink. That's sobering. I'll just tell you, we're talking about boring or, you know, the flair or whatnot. If that's the case, 2025, like if I'm a Giant fan, I'm dreading it.
Next season,
yeah.
Well, you got to get there first. You still got 54 games starting tonight, 6:35 or 45.
Yeah.
Against the Oakland Athletics. You got to go out and try and win some games. But I think, and maybe we can get onto this more on the other side, I do think there is something about the signal that the front office is sending to this team. So if you're trading Cobb, who is supposed to be a dude, if you trade Soler, who is supposed to be a dude, whether those players have helped you or not, you know, you're trading Luke Jackson, who he wasn't very good this season, but he's still a veteran. He probably has a voice in the clubhouse. Okay, so how do the rest of the veterans, especially the ones that were brought in to help you this year, how are they looking at the front office? Like,
and Snell's one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think Snell would probably still stick around, but it's more monetary. Chapman, perhaps the same reason. But I wouldn't be surprised if both of those guys put out feelers this offseason and tried to figure out what they could get.
I know I would if I was in their shoes. And that's why I was mentioning I have no proof morale of how these and the Cobb move. Hey, Evan, I'm not even talking about it. But the Soler one, and they're probably going to play their ass off tonight because they're pros. But I do wonder if, and we know this in sports, making the playoffs to Draymond Green, that doesn't interest him if they're just one and done. But to others, it's everything. I just wonder how the morale in that clubhouse, did it take a hit? Did nobody care? Is it just business as usual? So we'll find out. We won't find out, but I guess I'm just interested to see what playbook Farhan's going to speak from with everything that is his Giant team this year, two games under before they take the field tonight.
And Farhan Zaidi will speak a half hour, after the deadline is officially done. 3 p.m. Pacific Standard. That is when the deadline is up. The Giants have made some moves. Are they done? Well, they have about 2.5 hours left to move either in the same direction, which appears to be towards younger players, or to maybe go out and find someone that could help this team as they stand two games below 500, 3.5 games out of the wild card spot. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Gittings in for Matt Stein, Matt Sotero, the Guru Johnson. What is the morale right now from people out there listening, from people out there looking at the Giants? Not just the players in the clubhouse. What is the morale right now? Is it flatlined? Is it down? Is it up? Are you happy that Birdsong is going to get more opportunity? Are you happy that you're going to see Luciano?
Are we hearing any positivity, Evan? We've been together. Are we hearing anybody say, I like this direction? I haven't heard one.
If there is positivity out there, I'd like to see it. But also, if you don't feel like, and Carter's given us a bit of a hint in the opposite direction. If you feel that way, too, we're happy to take your call. 888-957-9570. And that's what's coming up on the game presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Went down to Palo Alto and played golf at 6:30.
Oh, you were up with the chickens.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
He is a chicken. He is a chicken. Doesn't call back. Doesn't text us. Doesn't tell us anything about what's going on in London.
The world is on his time.
Well, yeah, because to him it is.
Hey, I need this number. I just let him wait. I'm like, you know what? If it were you, I'm right back. Make him wait.
In the show, Vine. Well, especially because you know that if you don't text him back immediately, he won't just let it go. We're talking about Matt Stymus, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
It's anybody here comes another here? Text.
Yeah.
And there's another text.
Everything you say, I disagree with.
There's another text.
Oh, he'll take a victory lap for what's happening right now.
He's like a puppy.
Wait, he would say this is a sale. They're trimming payroll, I get it. And Sale, Snail, Evan, I don't think they're going to be good in the foreseeable future. So what if I told you this was a missed opportunity to unload on Snail? That's how I feel right now. I don't feel like last year, I was like, let's go, Evan. I don't like any of it right now. Troy Aikman, why wouldn't he go?
Blake Snell?
Yeah.
Because
and he still may leave and you get nothing for him.
Blake Snell, he stinks.
No, not last month. Yeah,
He's been sick.
Not last month. No. Blake Snell's been very good. Yeah. In fact,
the last few starts.
I think that's the reason why a lot of people want to trade him. But
man,
his value is it's not as high as you'd think. Like you say Kikuchi again. And not many people might know him. He's a left-handed pitcher for the Blue Jays. He's pretty good. But the Houston Astros gave up the number 2 and number 5 prospects in their system. Blake Snell might fetch something similar or even less because there's more questions about Blake Snell than there is Kikuchi. Not on the field, but in regards to his contract. Because you don't know if he's going to opt in next year. So it could be a rental. And are you really going to overpay for a rental? And even if that happens, you're still not exactly sure because he's also got injury concerns. He's been hurt twice this year already in the IL. Kikuchi's at least pitched most of the season, and he's under contract for a few more years. But the things that the Giants have done is, to your point, they have sold Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson, and about a half hour ago, they sold Alex Cobb to the Cleveland Guardians. And I'm using the word sold because that's literally what they did. They just got off of money. They got a little bit back, but not much. So
trimming payroll.
Basically. Or trimming this payroll.
Not Joan. Trimming and payroll.
And they're prioritizing their younger players. Luciano's going to come up and probably get some DH at-bats, and Hayden Birdsong is going to get the fifth spot in the rotation. The latter of which I actually like. Now, Alex Cobb is...
Well, he earned that Birdsong. I'm with you.
Yeah, he's a good pitcher. Cobb is. He was an all-star last year, I think. But Birdsong, to me, is right now the most impressive young pitcher that I've seen.
Give it to you.
Harrison included. Now, I think someone behind him and Carson Wisenhunt could be also really good. But so I'm not mad at the Cobb move, but you're right. The overall direction of the team is not what you'd hope for, or not what we hoped for yesterday when we thought that they could add.
And it's kind of funny, Evan. I wish I had a a magic wand and I could tell you if they're going to make the playoffs or not. But the crazy thing is, it's still out there for them to go get that. You know, if Birdsong were to continue, you know, doing what he's doing on the bump, and Luciano picked up or did more than Soler, which is not a lot. What did you? Two home runs at Oracle Park, and my silly self says, I wonder if he's down because he got traded. No, he's going to a better team. He's in a more hitter-friendly park, and he had two dongs at his home park, Evan. Soler.
Yeah, he's probably happy to be hitting in Atlanta right
now. Man, hot Atlanta.
Going back to a place where he can see the baseball and actually hit it out of the park. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get out to CJ in New Jersey. Wants to talk about the Giants.
Jersey.
What's going on, CJ?
Yeah, what seems to, I'm a Giant fan since the days of the Polo Grounds. I'm 78 years old, so I remember them from way back then.
Oh, thank you.
The problem is, nobody wants to play for the Giants. Every time they go after a big-name player like Aaron Judge, well, I hate the Yankees, okay? Remember Lester from the Cubs? They were after him, John Lester. Okay, they offered him more money than the Cubs. He wouldn't, then whoever he signed with, I forget. He refused to play with the Giants. They were after Stanton. Nobody wants to play for them. The player from Minnesota, because shortstop, Correa, whatever his name was. Yeah. What is going on with this? I don't understand it. Can you tell me? Do you know?
Thanks, CJ.
CJ, I love the voice, too. I'll take a crack at it. I think the guy that's in control of closing those deals is in over his head, and he can't close one. So I'll leave that there. It's not a hard riddle to solve. It's just a question to get an answer to, Evan. Farhan can't close deals. Do we have a gauge of how close he's been? That doesn't matter, right? The bottom line is the bottom line. And right now, you spent over $200 million on this payroll, and right now you are just doing everything to send stuff away and get out of here. And I do worry, and I feel bad for Giant fans and their future. If they don't get it done this year as far as making the playoffs, what's it look like next year and the year after? That's where I'm at with this team.
But even if the Giants' young players look like they're promising, because, again, the trades, to me, emphasize the youth movement, I don't know if that saves Farhan's job. Like, one of the...
Then why would he, you think, real quick, why would he be, I don't want to say ultra-focused, why would he be tasked to make these moves if it weren't going to benefit him and his future? Or, like, his boss could have came in and said, hey, you're going to run this, see this thing out, this is what I want you to do. I just don't think the Johnsons are like that.
No, but I also don't think that Farhan is the only person that has a say in the matter. Like, if he does something that could potentially hurt the organization... No one's just going to let him do it. Like, they're not going to say, oh, yeah, we're actually going to green light you selling off every single prospect possible for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Why would I green light that if it's going to hurt the team long term? You know, I don't think he's allowed to make those choices. And so I think there's some direction internally that they want to get younger, that they want to promote these homegrown players. I'm just not sure enough of them are ready right now to help get them to the postseason. And that's why the pivot is, it's so reactionary at this point. And it still leaves me, like we were at the beginning of the show, perplexed, because he spent all this money to go all in on this season. And now they're turning left.
And we're 4 months into the season, Evan. Like, it ain't even the end or the last week.
You got a third of the season left.
That's crazy,
That's a lot of games.
Like, those are mistakes or errors, bottom line. They didn't help the vision you had, Farhan. You didn't like what you were seeing. It was so yucky. You just snatched it. We're 4 months in, bud. We got a long way to go.
Yeah, and they haven't relieved themselves of every piece of the offseason. Look, I mean, Lee's still going to be their starting center fielder on opening day next year. Hicks has been moved to the bullpen, but he's got 3 years left.
Ramos will be in left.
Well, Ramos wasn't an offseason signing, but I mean, you know, like, you hope that Chapman and Snell return. And
the Snell one, man. I know, Evan, you feel like to your core he ain't going nowhere, and 30 is 30. I'm like, if they don't make it, why would he look around and be like, this is where I want to do it?
Because it's the only place that he could get paid. And he could also set himself up to get a bigger payday later. I think that would be the only reason. I mean, Oracle Park is a pitcher's park. So you would be better off pitching there than, say, I don't know, Cincinnati, you know, like or Colorado, a place where your ERA is naturally going to be inflated. And Snell is not young, but he's still young enough to still get a big offer after next season. But that's your hope, right? Like, you don't control that. And they knew that when they gave him that deal, and when also they gave Chapman a similar deal, which is player options. You do not get the right to choose. And that's the only reason you probably got those players in the first place.
You were desperate.
But you have to be willing to play that game. And I think that they are willing to play that game. Number one, because they can envision, like, if I told you that this rotation shows up next season, that's a pretty damn good rotation. But is that, like, is that it, basically? So that's why, again, I think they're looking towards 2025. And that's not what this season was supposed to be about.
No doubt. But also, too, there's offense to it, too, Evan. I mean, you just gave one of your boppers away. He wasn't bopping for you, but you brought him in here to bop. You had him under team control for a couple more years, and you give up on that. So you could have Sandy Koufax on the mound. At some point, this offense, and nobody knows why, somebody mentioned earlier in the show, Pat Burrell, we never bring his name up. But good God, why has this team just been dead men walking at the plate collectively? Runners on base left. So I get what you're saying, and it does sound good. That's why I was like, if they could just qualify, and they still may, and get into a series with what I deem Robbie Ray to be, Webb and Snell, but you got to score runs to do that too, even with dominant pitching.
So I'm tired of hearing Pat the Bat. Yeah, right. Give me a break.
Yeah, and getting rid of Soler doesn't make me feel any more confident, unless Luciano comes in here and the combo of Flores or whatnot make up for his numbers, Evan. Maybe it can work. And obviously they think it can. Or they wouldn't have made this move with Soler yesterday.
No, and there's still time to do some things. You know, again, 3 o'clock Pacific is the end of the deadline. Farhan Zaidi will speak to the media at about 3:30 p.m. at Oracle Park. But you know, there have been moves made. I just don't think the Giants are going to fit in the category of acquiring a Chisholm or an Arozarena or even a Kikuchi at this point. Man. I think they're going the opposite direction. And for those that want, you know, a Rooker, a Guerrero, a Robert, a Lowe, or Lau, or Bichette. That is the direction that I see. Like that's not going. So at least there is somewhat of a direction now. But it's not. I don't think it's where anybody wants. Mm. You know, it's kind of being stuck in the same place, and that's why I don't know. Like I do believe that Farhan feels comfortable more than I did yesterday.
And I wonder how much of what you just talked about glowingly and correctly and rightfully so, Evan, how fired up they are about this rotation right now. Because I know if I'm a team and I don't care where I'm at and the Giants are on my schedule, Evan, I got to face three dogs and then you got the youngster Birdsong on the back end. Like, the pitching is their strong point right now. So I kind of went, oh, Evan, what about the offense? I mean that. But right now they're sitting pretty with some good-ass pitching. And I wonder in a crazy way if that has something to do to where Farhan might be more secure.
Well, that's the only thing you can get excited about.
Yeah. That, go, you preaching.
But let's say even Snell, you keep him, you don't deal him by 3 o'clock, he doesn't return.
That would hurt.
It would, but that's still a pretty good rotation you're bringing in next year. Like, again,
Ray,
Webb, Ray, Harrison, and Birdsong. That's a decent four. And now is that top line, I don't know, Seattle Mariners level starting rotation? Probably not. You know, are you competing with the Phillies and the Dodgers? Probably not. But I don't know if you were going to compete with them anyways. So the question becomes, you know, what do you do between now and 3 o'clock, and how does that signal where the rest of the season goes? I think right now, I don't know if Farhan's job security is great, but it does appear that the Giants as a franchise are okay with basically just rolling the ball out there and see what happens.
No doubt. And I'm going to read this. I like the way you put that. Theodore Rand on the YouTube chat. People have too much loyalty to Webb here. What I'm going to say, Evan, is I'm wondering if Webb, if the Giants are going down a path, and we'll see. Let's just say Snell's gone. If
He's like, you know what? I need to pitch in some meaningful baseball games, damn it. I don't want to just waste myself here if it's going to be a couple years before we get back into contention. You always got to worry about that, too, because he's been a steward since he's been here. He's been on and off the field, Logan Webb, that is. But if I had to go to the counter and bet right now, I don't know when his next meaningful game that's going to put him or make him, which he already lightweight is, having a household name, the tail end of his career, because he's not 21 and he's a damn good pitcher. But if they don't get their stuff together, you know, this whole, oh, I love it here. I just wonder, you know, him watching the playoffs, if they don't make it, how old that can get quick and in a hurry.
Well, I think he's under contract for quite some time, and he's also a local guy. I mean, Webb, I wouldn't be too worried about. He's 27 years of age, and he's been about as dependable of a starting pitcher as you can have in Major League Baseball since he got to the show and was consistently a starter 3-4 years ago. So, this is true for the 925. Robbie Ray can opt out. That's also true. I don't know why he would, though, because he doesn't have a full season to prove himself. Like, he's just now gotten healthy. That's, again, why I think that Snell would be incentivized to stick around next year, because, yes, if you pitch well in 2 months, that is 2 months. Major League Baseball season is 6 months. Blake Snell still does not have a single win. He is 0 and whatever is in the loss column. That's not what I want to pitch to another team if I'm a free agent. Because they're going to, I might throw, you know, oh, hey, the last, in July and August, I had a sub-1 ERA. They're going to say, oh, that's great. How come your ERA was 5?
He could say, I didn't have an offseason. You know that. I didn't get into spring training and I got out to a slow start. Won't happen again.
Well, Blake, that means you're actually a $20 million pitcher. We're prepared to offer you 4 for $80.
Now, what if that's the Pinstripes offering that to where he knows I got a pretty damn good, or Boston, I got a pretty, or the Dodgers, I got a pretty good damn good chance of pitching late in October as opposed to what he would deem the Giants are at that point. Like, that's what, if I'm a Giant fan,
and if I'm Snell, I would say last offseason you offered me $100 million.
So I'm pitching for money, basically, Evan. I'm staying here. We're not going to win, but you're going to pay me, and that could happen. But I just hate that part of the Giants, and I could be wrong. The Giants could be, you know, this year they don't make it, and next year is a better year. But it's kind of far-fetched to think, you know, to keep Snell or have him opt in is just predicated on I'm here for my chicken. And that very well may be the case. But, Evan, I got to believe a guy like that, when he gets going, Kurt, you know, won the Cy Young last year, it's almost like, you hold my beer. You know what I can do, MF-er. You know what I can do when it counts and our back's up against the wall.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the bottom line is the bottom line. Why did the Giants get Jorge Soler in the first place?
Right.
Because they paid him more than anybody else is willing to pay him, probably. You know, if it was about winning, Jorge Soler would have never left Atlanta. Like, the year after he was World Series MVP with the Braves, he signed with the Marlins, who at the time were not in as bad a position as they are now, but they're not very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, with Blake Snell, I don't think it's too outlandish to believe that it's about money. Now, you want to compete also, but it's about getting paid, you know? So I think that he can get the most money here next year, and I think Ray can do so also. So,
even if he feels the Giants aren't trying to win.
I mean, every team's I don't think the Giants aren't trying to win. I don't think that these trades signal that. I think they're looking towards next season more than this season. Like, they'll ride it out, and if they make a late push, great.
I got you.
You know, maybe there's somebody on the trash heap that they can pick up, you know, a designated free agent, a la Josh Bell going to the Diamondbacks, something like that. But they're not all in on the rest of this season. I think they're trying to look forward towards how they can build for 2025. And that's not what people want to hear. I mean, and I think that's kind of the tone we'll hear from Farhan Zaidi at 3:30 is like, well, we made the smartest moves that we believe were out there to help us for now, to promote some players and build our younger core, but then also have them be ready to contribute next season. It's going to be now and later move, and I'm not a big fan of that candy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So this is from the 925 Xfinity Mobile text line. You think Snell wouldn't leave? Yeah, to your point, if they're not trying to win. I think that winning is important to Snell, but I think the dollars is the most important part of this. So, you know, it's, I don't know. And there, oh, there's also a couple of moves that we got to update you on.
Let's go.
So this is just in. Paul DeJong, former San Francisco Giant, I think for a time last year, he is going to be traded from the White Sox to the Royals. That's per Jesse Rogers. Mm-hmm. Jeff Passan is reporting that the Texas Rangers are acquiring left-handed reliever Andrew Chafin from the Detroit Tigers. And then also from Jeff Passan, the Royals are finalizing a deal to acquire right-handed reliever Lucas Erceg from the Oakland Athletics. Mm. So he won't be in that dugout tonight at Oracle Park. Also from Little Birdie, I think Ken's going to be happy about where Paul Blackburn might be going in a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Heard that here first.
Stop!
Yep. Ken is a Mets fan, by the way. And then the other big moves from today, Trevor Rogers, closer from the Marlins, goes to the Orioles. And just trying to clean this up here. Also, Marcus Leiter was one that we missed. Mark Leiter Jr. was one that we missed earlier, going from the Cubs to the Yankees.
Mm.
So, look, there hasn't been a bunch of big names that have swapped spots. You know, I think the ones that are probably the biggest names to this point have already been dealt. You know, Jazz Chisholm, Randy Arozarena, as are names that people are familiar with. Garrett Crochet is probably the other big boy that's expected to be moved, but there's a hang up with him and the fact that
he wants an extension.
Yeah, I've never heard of this before.
Dude, like, who, boy?
Just as a quick aside, I've never heard of this. So Garrett Crochet, his first year has started with the Chicago White Sox. He's been supremely dominant at times this year, is outside of Snell, probably seen as the best left-handed starter on the market. And he and his agent have told teams, or have told the White Sox to tell teams, that he will not play in October. He won't play for a postseason team unless he gets a contract extension beforehand. I've never heard of that, especially for a guy who's never been a starter before this season. So it also doesn't look like Luis Robert's going to get dealt.
Yeah, that's, they said they're holding on. They're holding on.
Yeah. It's just there's a lot of weird stuff happening at the deadline, and the Giants kind of fit into that.
You got me. Hmm? Man, $38 million, Snell. You got me thinking. I'm like, he's due $38 million next year, so he might be in the Giant uniform.
And it's, man, not all going to count against the Giants. Dibs illustrated that yesterday. Yeah. Like, there's some wrapped up in a signing bonus. But yeah, there's,
wow,
he's going to get a lot of money.
That's a whoa.
And
I guess if you're a Giant fan, that's good. But for him to say night night to that, I doubt it.
And maybe if you're reading it optimistically, you could say, "Oh well, Blake Snell's a competitor, right? So he's going to have a full off season. He's going to have spring training. What can we get from him next year?
38. I mean,
that's your hope. That's what you're resigned to.
Yeah.
At least for now.
You know, I'd just like to see improved offense, Evan, from the Giant team. And I think Soler just not having the opportunity of that bat goes against that. But, hey, Luciano could tap into his Fitzgerald and get on a heater, and they could be on a heater together, and the Giants offense produces. But that's what's going to help get them there, not just the pitching. You got to score, man.
He'd been hitting good for a month.
Yeah.
And it's gotten him to the point where this season he's been, you know, about league average in a few categories.
What was his on-base percentage?
330. No, I mean, yeah, he got on base. He also struck out a lot. But is he a quality player? Right? Not really.
Like, I feel like he'll be better in Atlanta.
He will be.
Okay.
But also, that they're not asking him to be the three- or four-hole hitter that the Giants really needed him to be. Like, he's,
they kind of gave up on that fast, though, the Giants, I feel like.
On Soler?
Yeah, oh, batting three or four. It was like, be Ricky Henderson.
Well, he couldn't do that either.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played 93 games. That's not an insignificant amount of games. You know, in fact, this is going to be the fourth time in his career that he'll play 100-plus games.
There you go.
In 11 years. So, I don't know. Like, the Giants getting off of Soler, it doesn't make them better. Getting off of Cobb, I think, actually could make them better. Because I believe in Hayden Birdsong.
He wasn't doing it from a physical standpoint.
Well, yeah, he wasn't even out there. He had 6 rehab starts, but I don't really care if you're helping the Sacramento River Cats. I needed to help the San Francisco Giants. I'm not sure what Farhan has between now and 3 o'clock that is going to make us feel differently than how we feel now, Gu.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't expect anything. I think that it is what it is. And again, I know I'm weird. I can't wait to hear him talk at 3:30, predicated on nothing happening with the Giants until then.
Yeah, and Farhan Zaidi isn't a guest today, but remember that you can hear all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Also a reminder to join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Petinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society in San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. Evan Infrastiny with Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're going to keep this conversation going on the other side. Also get back to something about Farhan we heard from Larry Bear that I believe is not only telling about what's been happening, but also about what happened today, which has been a lot of selling, not much buying. All that and more next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.